Hello and welcome to Digital Insights, featuring topics from the BoagWorld.com blog. My name is Paul Boag, and on this podcast I offer advice on user experience and digital transformation. And in today's podcast, I want to start by asking you a question. How much thought has gone into the design of your blog posts? Probably not very much, really. Blog post templates feel like a design problem long since solved, but I would argue that isn't really the case. In truth, the design of your blog posts give little consideration to the role that they play in most business blogs these days, a role that is becoming, let's be honest, critically important. Blogs provide many benefits when they're well managed, benefits that may be invaluable in many organizations' sales funnels. They rank well in organic search results, and that reduces the need for marketing spend and drives traffic to your website. A good blog post encourages sharing, creating even more organic search. And a blog can encourage users to subscribe, therefore enabling a brand to keep in the minds of potential customers. And a blog post can also help establish the credibility of a company, making them appear like a potentially good supplier. In short, a blog helps move prospective customers through the sales funnel, from making existing contact to generating a quality lead. But it can only do that if it's well designed. For a blog post to fulfill its purpose, it needs to encourage users to share, subscribe, and make contact, or complete some other form of call to action. If the blog post's design doesn't facilitate that, then ultimately the blog will fail to deliver business value. So, what makes a good blog post template? Well, first of all, it needs to show people that the post is relevant to them. The first question people have when they hit a post is whether it's relevant to them or not. Does it answer their question or teach them something new? We don't want people to have to work hard in order to get an answer to that question, or they're just going to leave. That's why we should always include a summary of the post right at the very top. And it's also important for the very same reason that the title clearly describes what the post is about. Number two is we need to make it easy to scan. Because most people don't actually read a post. Like most content online, they scan it, dipping in and out relevant bits. For example, I can pretty much guarantee that if you were reading this blog post, then you would skip bits. To accommodate this way of consuming online content, we need to make sure our posts are scannable. We do this by using headings, pull-out quotes, lists, and making different things bold or italic. Number three, a good blog post should encourage sharing. One of the main things we want people to do when they read our blog post is to share them. But slapping on some social media buttons isn't going to do the trick. We can encourage people to share our posts in a number of ways. For a start, we can make suggestions about what they might want to share by highlighting them as something like a pullout quote. We can also make use of imagery and video on a site because that tends to be more shareable. Infographics are particularly popular in that regards. You can also give people a reason to share, such as, well, why don't you help your friends by telling them this thing or impress a colleague? In short, we need to integrate sharing features throughout our content rather than just adding a row of share this icons. Talking of sharing, it's important that any blog post design has ample scope for integrating imagery, video, and audio. Posts of this nature tend to get shared a lot more than just a big block of text. Introducing audio, video, and imagery also offers another opportunity, which is content recycling. Videos can be posted to YouTube, imagery to Instagram, and audio can be released as a podcast. Next up, a good blog post design encourages further reading. Encouraging users to share content isn't our only goal. We also want them to remain engaged with our content until they're ready to complete a call to action. That means we need to keep them reading. We want to show them just how much quality content we have on offer. To achieve this, we need to show related posts. Now, typically, this is done by placing a series of related posts at the bottom of a page. That means that when somebody finishes the article, they have other posts that they can look at. However, don't stop there. Also design the ability for the author to add related posts within the body of an article too. That's because users are more likely to spot that than they are posts at the very end. Not that related links is the only thing we want to be embedding in the flow of our posts. There's also calls to action as well. All too often, designers place a call to action in a side column where it could be missed, or at the bottom where the user might not reach it. However, be sure that you make your calls to action stand out if you put them in the body. You need to leave a lot of white space around them and possibly break out of your column layout. Finally, I recommend prominently featuring the author of the post. One of the aims of our blog is to encourage people to contact us. We want them to ask questions because it's an opportunity to turn them into leads. By focusing on the author, you add a human face to your brand, making it more approachable. It doesn't even need to actually be the person that wrote the post either. It just needs to be somebody who can help the reader should they choose to reach out. In the heat of a project, when the pressure is on to deliver, it can be easy to view the blog post as just another template that needs designing. We can easily fall back on looking at what others have done or simply following the conventions that are out there. However, as designers, we really need to be putting the same thought into the blog post template as we do into the homepage template. In fact, on some sites, more people will land on a blog post than they will on the site's homepage. Just as with any other page, we need to ask ourselves what the user wants to do, how we can engage them, and what the ultimate goal of the page is.